hope is going to work, okay, because I'm not a technological person, but my assistant pastor is, so hopefully we're going to be all right. I want to remind you of a fact that all men are not gifted equal, okay? And me being right after Dr. Billy, I want to remind you of that very strongly, okay? All men are not gifted equal, okay? And I also don't remember picking this passage. I think that I got assigned this passage, okay? I don't remember picking it. I remember picking it last year because I was asked which one last year, but I wasn't asked this year. But anyway, that being neither here nor there, I would like, how many of you are hungry? Okay, because I do things a little bit different. And I'm going to ask you to read passages here because what I'm trying to do is I'm bringing out some points from this passage right here. Okay, John 20. Okay, in the light of the rapture, what should the church do in light of this passage right here? So what I'm going to try to do is illustrate some points by using scripture. In other words, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Okay, is what I want to do. And I want you to participate with me. Okay, because I'm a feeling that after two messages and coffee and pastries, as they call them, okay, down south we call them sweets. But anyway, whatever, you might not be paying really good attention. So I'm going to have you read, okay, so that you can stay with me. So let's have some stentorian voice go ahead and read that passage for us right now, please. Real good. I just lost my place really well. I was in my devotions this morning in Micah, the Minor Prophets. Pastor Joshua said that you know, he did that in college, and I was in the Minor Prophets, and in Micah this morning I read this verse, and I thought about it because what I'd like to do is encourage you. Maybe there's not as many people as usually come to the IBFNA, but I want you guys to understand something. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And he said, and I will be with you unto the end of the age. Whenever that is going to be, it doesn't matter. But it constitutes all of us who are in Christ. That you are special to him this morning. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, if you are in Christ, you are special to him. No matter what problems you're going through right now, no matter what difficulties, what issues, it doesn't matter. I want you just to stop and think a little bit about the fact that he loves you. That he's got a plan for you. And that he would never do anything to harm you. Okay? And I want you to think about living by faith. Not in unbelief and fear. Now, see, this is a problem for most of us because most of us have unbelief and fear as it's our default mode many times, okay? And that means we're not walking in the Spirit. So here's the verse I read, Micah 2:7. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Okay, now I think if you've been at this conference and heard the preaching, you would understand that his words do good to them that what? Walk uprightly. His words do good to them that walk uprightly. So I ask you a question as we go through this thing, and we want to look at what is the relation of the church in light of the rapture. We were given a commission and not the time of his coming. Many are commenting that his coming must be near, but that is not our purview. Our only concern should be that he find us faithful when he comes. We should be anticipating his coming, but in the light of being found faithful. I hear over and over again on WHPE, which is BBN here, people saying, well, the Lord's must be coming now. Now, I've been hearing that since I was a little boy. That the world's getting worse and worse, and it's getting worse and worse, and so the Lord must be coming now. Now, I do understand that we have an idea from Paul that things are going to get worse towards the end, right? Okay, we understand that. What we don't know, though, is how bad it's going to be. Now, if you were in Africa in the 70s and you were being killed in the Chad and in some of these other countries where they took you out and they made you dig your grave and they put you in it and they told you, you either deny Jesus or we're going to shoot you with an AK, and they did, and they shot many pastors. You might have thought that the end couldn't be far off. Or any of these Chinese that are being thrown into jail, or the Russian pastors that have been thrown into jail during the Communist Soviet Socialist Republic days, and etc. You might have thought it was the end, but it wasn't the end. And I remember in the late 90s or early 2000s when I was home on furlough from Brazil, my dad was riding with me in the car. He loved flea markets, and we were going to the Lexington flea market, and he told me, he said, son, I know the Lord's got to come back pretty soon. And I knew why. Right now he's at my house. Well, no, he's probably at the doctor's office now. My son-in-law took him. They both, my parents, have dementia to a degree. And my dad was looking forward to the Lord coming back before he got old. And the other day he looked at me and he said, son, I hate being an invalid. I said, Dad, it's okay. It's okay. We're family. I'll take care of you. But even if he didn't have a son to take care of him, he's got a God that'll take care of him all the way to the end. Okay? And so when we looked at this passage, where do we find, how do we find the disciples? They are there in what? Fear. And why are they in fear? Why are they in fear? And the answer was because they weren't living in faith. See, Jesus had told them and he had told them and he had told them, but what he told them didn't make any difference in their life because they didn't believe it. Okay? Now, today, things are bad. If you are like me, and most of you are older in this room, you remember. I remember when my dad would go to churches from New York to Florida, from Michigan all the way out west, and everywhere that I would go with him, I was the one who set up the slide projector. Y'all remember what those are, right? Okay, we're dealing with old here, okay? The slide projector, and I would set up the curio table, all the stuff that he had from Africa, and people would just wow and anu. And they would have my sister and I each teach Sunday school classes, and my mom and my dad, and then we would come back Sunday night early because they'd have a youth thing, and then we would be there and we'd be telling them about Africa, and then my dad would preach Sunday night. Those days are gone. And I look at the churches now and I go back to some of the same churches and there's nothing but old people and there's 30 or 40 people left in a church that used to have hundreds. Yeah, the days are bad. Nobody's saying anything about that. The days are bad. We're not living in the United States of those days. There's not very many of us holding the line anymore. And so what's happening around us is because that restraining influence of the Holy Spirit is not as in this United States as it used to be because there aren't that many people that are what? Indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Not enough Christians left to hold the line. And so we're losing. But we're not losing as we were reminded. Because in the end, we're going to win. Okay? So the disciples, in the light of the rapture, in this passage, the church must obey the Lord. They were looking for a kingdom. Peter wanted to be the prime minister of the kingdom, and so did the other 11. There was no difference between them and Judas. They could not even figure out at the Last Supper that Judas was really the traitor because they wanted the same thing he wanted. Okay. But they're going to change here. They're going to change you. And all of this has been written so that it can affect us today. Okay? If the Word of God doesn't affect you people, there's no point in it. Okay? It's got to do something. It's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And as a discerner of what? My thoughts, my intents, not just the pagans. God help Steve Pittman with his thoughts. In the light of the rapture, the church must obey the Lord by not being disabled by unbelief and fear. Okay? In the light of the rapture, this passage teaches us, John 20:19, in the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of what? The Jews. And every time you see in the Bible one of these places where people are afraid, okay, Israel, for instance, why did they die in the desert? We're going to use that illustration here, but why did they die in the desert? Because they said, we saw giants. And we were like grasshoppers in their sights, and in our own sights, we were like grasshoppers too. And they were right! They were right! They were dealing with giants! The problem was, they should have been looking at God, not at the giants. And so should we. These disciples were looking at what they consider to be a total disaster. The resurrection's already happened, but they don't believe. The victory's already been won. The Lord of glory not only died on that cross, not only did He take your sins and mine and the sins of the whole world, but He rose again because death could not hold Him, and He holds the keys of death and hell. People, in the light of that, we can't lose. It doesn't matter how few we are. It doesn't matter if there's only two of us left on the earth. Okay? What matters is that we be found faithful when He comes back again. Okay? Whether I make it, whether the rapture occurs or while I'm still alive, or if I'm going to die physically, to be absent from the bodies to be. And Paul said what? It's far better to be with the Lord. For me to live is, and to die, can't lose. I can't lose. Neither can you. So if I go to the doctor tomorrow and he says, you got cancer, it's good. It's okay. If he says, you're going to die and you're not going to make, and I'm not going to make the rapture, it's okay. Because that's God's will. And if I make the rapture, hallelujah, but the dead are going to beat me. The dead are going to beat me. So you're going to lose out. If you want to go first, you've got to be the dead. Okay? All right, that's just a thought. All right? Look at this. Here's one of the problems that we have with unbelief. And unbelief and fear go hand in hand. Faith and victory go hand in hand. What does he say here? Somebody read that for me. What does it say? Okay, so let me ask you a question. If we go back to this one here. Afterwards, he appeared to, and he upbraided them for what? If he came right now, would he get you and me for unbelief? Okay, now be careful because we're going towards the end of that passage, okay? So this is one of the problems that notes our unbelief is what we do or what we don't do. Okay? What will denote, not what we say, not what we sing, but what we do. Okay, be ye doers of the word and not. And that's a biblical principle all the way through. Jesus said, my family are those who hear the word of God and do it. Okay? So, this is what was said. Important lessons are given by this alternation of the two ideas of faith and unbelief, obedience and disobedience. Disobedience is the root of our unbelief. Unbelief is the mother of further disobedience. Faith is voluntary submission within a person's own power. If faith is not exercised, the true cause lies deeper than all intellectual reasons. It lies in the moral aversion of human will and in the pride of independence, which says, who is Lord over us? Why should we have to depend on Jesus Christ? As faith is obedience and submission, so faith breeds obedience, but unbelief leads to higher-handed rebellion. With dreadful reciprocity of influence, the less one trusts, the more he disobeys. The more he disobeys, the less he trusts. Or, catch 22, Alexander McLaren. Okay, so let me ask you a question. The more we trust, the more we obey. The less we trust, the more we disobey. One time, Moody was talking to a Mason. I tell my church this. I want them to remember this a lot. It was one of the greatest illustrations I think I've ever heard. There was a pile of sand because it's the old way you made mortar. And it's like we used to do in Africa. You take gravel and you throw it, and you throw a certain amount of sand, a certain amount of cement, and you mix it by hand. And that's what he was doing. But there was a sandpile. There was two little boys playing there, and they were talking about faith. And the Mason picked up the boy, and he stuck him up on top of the wall that he was building, and he said, jump. And the little kid jumped. Picked him up, put him back in the sand, picked up the other little boy, stuck him up there. Said, jump. And the kid wouldn't jump for sour apples. He said, Mr. Moody, do you know the difference between the two? He said, the first one is my son. And he knows that I would never ask him to do anything that would be harmful to him, because he knows that I love him and he loves me. The second one is not my son, and he does not know that I love him. He still loved him, right? But the little boy didn't know that. And he doesn't trust me. So he wouldn't jump. I think many times we're like the second little boy. We don't really trust him. We talk about faith. We talk about it. We talk about it till the cows come home, but we don't do anything about it. And faith is always active. It's never passive. It always demands something. It is never allowed just to be. Okay? So as we look at this thing, Hebrews 3, 6 through 15, and I don't want to read the whole passage, but you know what it says. Today, and it's a quote from the Psalms, right? Today, what does he say? Don't what? Harden your heart. Harden your heart in what? Unbelief. Why would the writer of the book of Hebrews, why would he quote this passage? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Why would he quote this passage? Because it's possible for us to do what? Harden our hearts. And what hardens our hearts? Unbelief. Fear. I'm afraid. Things aren't the way they used to be. We don't have the hundreds we used to have. We don't have the multitudes. We don't have the influence anymore. And we're looking at the enemies. And they're giants. And we should be looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher, as Pastor Joshua said this morning. The author and the finisher of our faith. So we should be looking. We shouldn't be looking at the giants. What's a giant compared to God? Hey, what's a giant compared to God? Whatever giant. What is he compared to God? Nothing. If you take the whole universe and put it as a drop in the bucket compared to God. Okay. So the writer of Hebrews uses this illustration, and he says to them, you know, Christ, as the son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast, what? What's confidence the opposite of? Fear and doubt. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will what? Hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Okay, so, is this thing not working? Luke, it's not going, buddy. Come save the day, or else I'll have to open up my little computer. What did I do to it? Okay, let me grab my little one. That's why you don't ever trust. There we go. Okay. I got to make sure it goes back there. Yes, there we go. Okay, here we go. Another passage, okay? We'll put that right there in case we need it. Mark 6, 48 through 52. Let's read this because, again, it illustrates this fear. All right, go.
And you saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto
me. The wind was what?
Contrary.
What's the wind to us? All right, go on.
And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out.
Cried out with what? Terror. Okay, all right, go on.
For they all saw him and were troubled. Immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened.
Oh, what was the problem? Jesus comes walking on the water. Got the Peter thing there in Matthew 14, but he gets in, the waves stop, and they're absolutely amazed. Now, have they been watching Jesus heal people, do all this kind of stuff? They just got done in the feeding of the 5,000. But none of that makes any difference to them. Why? And it doesn't make any difference what God's done in our past either, if our heart's hard. It doesn't make a lick of difference. What happened, what God's done for us, how He saved us, how He kept us, how He did everything, how He brought the right wife or husband to us. None of that matters if we've got a hard heart, because we don't remember any of that when we come to the next trial, do we? But if we do, then we go back and we say, you know what, it's okay, it's all good, because you can count your many blessings. Name them one by one. I'm never walking through anything, but God isn't walking with me. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow. When it's so dark, I can't see my way. And the only way through the valley of the shadow is to put your hand in His hand and keep on walking till He brings you out into the sunlight. It's the only way through. And any of the older people here have been through the valley of the shadow, and as I tell these young bucks, you're going. Nobody lives life for any amount of time without going through the valley of the shadow. You will go through the valley of the shadow. It's a guaranteed thing. And when you do, the only way through, just put your hand in His hand. Just keep on walking till you get to the other side. This is a quote here. I am inwardly fashioned for faith and not for fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are the sand and the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear and doubt and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. These are not my native air, but in faith and confidence I breathe freely. These are my native air. At Johns Hopkins University, doctors say we do not know why it is that warriors die sooner than non-warriors, but it is a fact. But I, who am of a simple mind, think I know. We are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain, cell, and soul, for faith and not for fear. God made us that way. To live by worry is to live against reality. Dr. E. Stanley Jones. You know what he's saying? God made man in His image, didn't He? And He made him to live by faith. And when he doesn't live by faith, he lives in worry and in fear, without hope and without God. But it's disastrous for you and me to live without hope and without God, because God is right there. No, we don't lose our salvation, but we can live as though God does not exist, as though we were truly atheist, practical atheist. We get into trouble and we start figuring out ways to fix it. But Isaiah 30, God says, cursed be those who go to Egypt for their answers and don't come to me. Cursed be those who go to Egypt for their answers and don't come to me. Mark 8:17, Jesus said, when he knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand, have ye yet your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? Do ye not remember? Okay, let me ask you a question. They're going on a little retreat and they've forgotten to take bread, and so they're all worried when Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, right? And he asks them, is your heart yet hardened? Let me ask you a question. Are they with Jesus? How can your heart be hardened if you're in the presence of the man of Galilee? How? Well, you've got the Holy Spirit of God. I've got the Holy Spirit of God. And yet many times we walk around with hardened hearts. We're in fear. We act in unbelief because we're motivated by fear instead of being motivated by faith and confidence. Okay, that's the first thing we get. In the light of the rapture of the church must obey the Lord by operating in and with the peace of the Lord. Okay? You see the second part of this verse? And then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them. Remember, it was fear. Peace be what? Peace be unto you. All of y'all that are here. Peace be unto you. If you know Jesus and He's your Lord, peace be unto you. No matter what kind of situation you're in today. Doesn't matter what kind of place you find yourself in physically, in life, emotionally. Peace be unto you. And when he heard it, and when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples what? Glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. Okay, in the Aramaic, when he says something twice, it's for emphasis. Peace be unto you. My mom used to say things twice, and it was for emphasis too. Yeah. All right? John 14:27. What does he say? Come on, guys. Some of you out there are being lazy. Let's go. If you want to eat, you're going to have to read. Peace, people. Don't let your heart be troubled. If your heart's troubled today, why don't you just bow your head and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I allowed doubt and fear to enter my life. Lord, you've already ordered what for your children? What? What's the state we're supposed to live in? Peace. Okay? Be encouraged. You're His child. It's peace. It's peace. Look at this one. Somebody read this one. What does it say?
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Hey, tribulation's coming. I mean, more overt than what we're getting from what we've gotten, what you'll get normally in ministry. Tribulation is coming. Might be from the government, as we heard from Pastor Joshua. Looks like that's what's going to happen. Maybe from somebody else. Maybe from a mob. Maybe from what? Hey. It's all good. Peace. In the end, we win. In the end, we win. Look at this, what Peter's preaching to the first Gentile in the church age. What does he say to him? He is Lord of all. And he's preaching what? Peace. The common greeting of all the writers of the epistles, grace and peace. Every single one of them. Grace first, because without grace there is no peace, right? Grace and peace. So I said, if you're in the Lord today, His dictate for you is what? Peace. Here's a quote. A lot of people know this one. What does it say? What does it say? Safety consists not in absence of danger, but what? The presence of God. That's how the martyrs, some of them like Polycarp being burned, could sing hymns right up through to the time that they couldn't, their lungs didn't function anymore. You say, well, I don't know if I could do that. No, it's called dying grace. You can't do that. It's not in the bank. You can't draw on it now. You can only draw on it then. Don't worry about it. You know, if they get us and they put us in jail or they come and kill us, it's going to be okay because He's going to give you grace. Do you know that even the animals, God gives a certain, almost like when a lion grabs one of these animals, they go into almost a shock kind of thing where they don't feel anything and they just go right down. Okay, God takes care of even the creation that He's made, let alone somebody like you or me who's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's okay. It's okay. If persecution comes, it will be okay. He has promised you that in that hour He'll give you what you're supposed to say. You don't have to invent it. You don't have to write it down ahead of time. You don't have to memorize it. He's going to give you exactly what you're supposed to say, and He will give you the grace to go through this thing as more than a conqueror. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of what? Peace. That's what we're taking. The gospel of peace. And bring glad tidings of good things. In Romans 15, he ends his epistle, or he's ending his epistle, and saying, now the God of peace be with what? You all. The God of peace be with you all. In 16:20, he goes back to this thing. He says, and the God of peace shall what? Shall bruise Satan under your feet what? Shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. There it is. You want? It's good. You're in peace. You belong to Jesus. Peace is yours. And so is grace. And grace came before peace. And peace is a result of grace. For God is not the author of confusion, but of what? Our churches should be places of peace where people from the outside can come in. We should not be having these meetings where people are fighting. It should not be tolerated. No pastor should tolerate that kind of business meeting. You should put the person in discipline. He said, if a person is causing division, Romans 16:17, mark that person. Titus 3:10-11. Okay, after two or three. Okay. That's it. Why? Because the church is a place of what? Peace. We have pagans coming in who are looking for peace. I had one brought by one of my people last Sunday. And he said, I like it. I'm going to come back. And he's bringing this Sunday, God willing, his girlfriend and his mother. Okay, we'll see. I don't know what the results is going to be. But I do know that Maranatha Baptist Church needs to be a place where people can find peace. Both Christians who might be hurting, who are coming, and also the pagans who are coming in looking for something. Because if God's not moving in the pagan's heart, he's not going to get saved, right? And it wasn't the wonderful people of Maranatha who first told God is already working, because if God, the Holy Spirit, is not working in somebody's heart or life, they're not going to get saved, okay? And I'm not one of those hyper-Calvinists, so don't get excited. It's just fact. All right, 2 Corinthians 13:11. What does he say? Finally, brethren, what? Farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be what? Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, the opposite's also true when you read your Bible. If you don't live in peace, the God of peace is not with you. He's not with a lot of churches, people. And the reason he's not with them is because they don't live where? They're not living in peace. Okay? Very simple. There are things that we have to look at. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, everybody knows this one, right? Everybody knows this one. Okay? This is, be careful for nothing, or don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes what? Shall keep your heart, that's your emotion, and your mind, that's your intellect, through Christ Jesus. It'll be all good. I was coming this morning, I said, Lord, thank you for giving my parents both dementia at the same time. I don't know why God did it, but you know what? It's for my good. It's for their good. It's for everybody this concerns good. I don't know how it's going to work out because I'm not God. He didn't ask me to figure it all out. He just asked me to live one day at a time. And whatever petitions I give, to give them with thanksgiving. Can't teach my people to do what I don't do. I always tell my people, the shepherd cannot take the sheep where he hasn't been, and he can't teach the sheep what he does not know. You cannot take the sheep where you have not been. You cannot teach them what you don't know. Matthew Henry said, peace is such a precious jewel that I would give anything for it but the truth. Some people will sacrifice the truth for peace, but we will not. Truth is more important than peace. Okay? In the light of the rapture, the church must obey the Lord, okay, by going without fear and taking the gospel of peace to those who live in fear and unbelief. He ends up this passage by saying, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even what? Even so send I you. So he sent them, and through them all of us, because they are the 12 founders, all of us are being sent to a world. We're being sent as the recipients of grace and peace to preach the gospel of peace to people who live in fear and unbelief. And there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no peace. And we have the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, said, all power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Does he still have all authority in earth?
Amen.
Even though the Supreme Court is saying that we're going to take God out, does he still have all authority? Okay. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, what? Is he still with us? Let me ask you a question. Why is it that we're backing off on the missionary thing? Why is it we're not sending the missionary? We're saying, well, we don't have any money. Well, that's great. You don't have any money. That's your giant. Who does have money? God does. Why are we backing off on the Great Commission? Why are we backing off on, Pastor Billy said, why are we backing off on having an evangelistic crusade? I'm thinking, Pastor John, you know, we need to get together and formulate one of those things. I don't know what happened to him. He was right there. But anyway, we need to start working as churches together. Independent Baptists, so independent, we can't work together, okay? But we need to start learning to work together. We need to bring the unsaved in. We need to have people who can preach the gospel to these people so they can hear. Because he sent us, okay? And he said unto them what? To every creature. And in Luke 24, he told them what the content of the message was supposed to be. And if you go to the book of Acts, every message that they completed had five things in it. Okay? Thus it is written, and it behooved Christ to what? So it has to have, a gospel message has to have the suffering death in it. Okay? And to rise from the dead, it has to have the resurrection in it. And that repentance. A lot of people are telling me you don't have to repent. Really? Jesus said that if the gospel message is preached, we are preaching what? Repentance. And remission or forgiveness of sins to those who repent should be preached in his name what? Among all nations. He's not a racist. Neither should we. We still take the gospel everywhere. Not just here at home. We should do it here at home. We should do it across the street, across the city, in another part of the country, but we got to go where people have not heard before. We got to still send the missionaries, people. And I hear, because I've got seven couples in my church, I've got two couples on the field, and seven couples in my church tried to raise support, and they keep telling me, pastor after pastor after pastor tells them, we just don't have any money anymore. We don't have any money anymore. I'll tell you why we don't have money anymore. We don't have money anymore because we're not looking to the Lord of the harvest. We're looking at what? We're looking at all the circumstances. We're looking at the problems. I don't have this. I don't have that. It's not that the people don't have money. They got money. God just doesn't have their heart. If God had their heart, he'd have their money. And ye are witnesses of these things. Where our captain bids us go, 'tis not ours to murmur no. He that gives the sword and shield chooses to the battlefield where we are to fight the foe. Okay? Said to Timothy, what did Paul say? But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of what? Evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist, or a teller of the gospel. That's what it means. Make full proof of thy ministry. If you're not doing the work of an evangelist, you're not what? You're not making full proof of what? The ministry. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, they're gone, and some evangelists, they're still around, they're called the missionaries, and some pastors and teachers, for what reason? For the perfecting of the saints, for the saints to do the work of the ministry. Okay, it's not that the pastor doesn't do it, but the people are supposed to do the work. It is easy to determine when something is aflame, it ignites other material. Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out. A church without evangelism is a contradiction in terms, just as a fire that does not burn is a contradiction. Okay? In the light of the rapture, the church must fulfill the commission of our Lord. And here's why. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, Old Testament confounded. Okay? For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe that? Okay. See if you believe this. How shall they call on him? Here comes the question. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? It's a question. How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? It's a rhetorical question. It means they can't. Okay? And how shall they hear without a what? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, here it comes. What does it say? Faith cometh what? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So we, in the light of the rapture, and this passage right here, we need to be careful that we're not paralyzed by fear and unbelief. Two, we should go in and with the peace of our Lord. And three, we should continue taking the gospel. Okay? To those who live in unbelief and fear. Whether they're across the street or across the sea, it doesn't make a hill of beans of difference. They're without hope and they're without God. May God bless His Word. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we pray, Lord, that You would bless Your Word, that You would, Lord, give comfort to our hearts. As Micah said, Lord, does not My Word do good to them that walk uprightly? Lord, where we're convicted, help us, Lord, to ask for forgiveness. Bless, Lord. For whatever God does, it shall be forever. In Jesus' name, amen.